slide two. Then on the basis of those quotations to the State of the Nation address, we've identified four key areas that we need to talk to show how we're responding to the State of the Nation address. The first area, which is the National Water Resource Infrastructure Projects. The President talked specifically to about four or five major National Water Resource Infrastructure Projects in the State of the Nation address. And the President also spoke about the need to increase water security and improve water services. So we've also included a section on our major water services projects. The President also mentioned our improvements to the water use license application process. So we've included some slides on that. And then the committee asked us to also talk about the recent flood event. So there's a section on that. Chairperson, in the interest of not having too long a presentation, we put quite a lot of additional detail in annexes. So there's four annexes to the presentation. In the main presentation, we've covered the major water resource infrastructure projects, the ones particularly which were mentioned by the President. But in Annex A, we provide additional information on other major water resource infrastructure projects in the planning phase, and also in Annex B, other major water resource infrastructure projects in the implementation phase. And then in Annex C, we put more detailed information on our key water services projects around the country. We haven't included information on all of our projects all over the country, all the water services projects funded by our RBIG and WSIG grants. That would make the presentation extremely long because we've got hundreds of projects around the country. But we've tried to province by province provide information on the key projects. And then finally, we thought, given that we were asked to present something on the recent flood events, we thought also the committee might want an update on the latest situation with regard to the terrible damage which was done to water and sanitation in Etigwini and surrounding municipalities in the floods last year. So we've also included in Annex D a progress report on the recovery of that water and sanitation infrastructure in that area of the country from last year. So turning first to the major national water resource infrastructure projects, we have many projects. Some of them are in the planning phase and some of them in the implementation phase. During the planning phase, we do water resource management planning. We look at the best options from a hydrological point of view, from a catchment management point of view, for increasing water supply, raw water supply around the country. And we do detailed feasibility studies of the various options. This is very important work. It's very complicated. It's very technical work. It can save the country billions of rands if we get it right, because there's many options which are available potentially to provide additional raw water, and we need to come up with the best options, both in terms of cost, but also in terms of sustainability for our water resources and our environment. So the major projects, this is not all the projects that are currently in the planning phase, but the major projects that we have in the planning phase include the Mangaung Water Augmentation Project, which is the Khadip Pipeline. Then we're also looking at doing planning for a new dam on the Lower Orange River, which is called the Fjordsdrift or Noordoever Dam. We're also looking at a major project to put in place conveyance infrastructure around Clan William Dam. You'll also hear a bit later, honourable members, that we also have a project in implementation phase related to Clan William Dam, which is the raising of the dam wall. Then we also are doing feasibility studies and detailed planning work for the possible construction of a Kurney Balancing Dam in the Eastern Cape. We're also doing planning related to the possibility of a new water transfer scheme in the Western Cape, a new dam called the Imbombela Dam in Mpumalanga, a new dam, the Mutali Dam and Musina Off-Channel Storage Dam Associated Works in Limpopo, and the raising of the Klipfontein Dam in KwaZulu-Natal. As I indicated earlier, Chairperson, in Annexure A, there is some additional information on other water resource projects that we also have in the planning phase. As I indicated earlier, the President specifically mentioned five major water resource infrastructure projects during the State of the Nation address. We do have more than these five, and information on key ones of the additional projects are in Annexure B. Again, we haven't been able to include all of our major projects in Annexure B in the interest of not having too many slides, but the key ones are in Annexure B, in addition to these five, which I'll now summarize. The Lesotho Highlands Water Project is an essential project to ensure water security for our economic heartland of Gauteng in the future, and to ensure that water supply in Gauteng doesn't become a constraint to economic growth in future. Gauteng's population is also growing rapidly as a result of rural-urban migration, and we also need to increase the water supply to Gauteng to cater for future population growth in that province. There was initially phase one of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, which was completed a number of years ago. And phase two was planned in order to further augment the amount of raw water in the Vaal River system to supply sufficient water to the municipalities in Gauteng. Unfortunately, phase two of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project is behind schedule. It was delayed for a number of years, but Chairperson, the good news is that it's back on track. And in the last 2 months, the major contracts were awarded by the Lesotho Highlands Development Authority, and the contractors are on site to build the major new Polihali Dam in Lesotho and a tunnel connecting the Polihali and Katsi dams. The Lesotho Highlands Phase 2 project will transfer up to 485 million cubic meters of water from the upper reaches of the Orange or Senku River in Lesotho through the existing conveyance infrastructure to the Vaal Dam in South Africa. This project, Honourable Chairperson and members, is funded using our Trans-Culloden Tunnel Authority, the TCTA, which raises money on the market in order to invest in this project. Our estimated cost of this project is 39 billion rand. And that money will all be raised in the market. In other words, it will be private sector finance. It will be raised in the market to fund this 39 billion rand project, which is now started and construction is underway. Those loans will be paid off by the TCTA through revenue, which will be raised from the sale of that water, principally to Rand Water. And Rand Water in turn will get its revenue from selling water to the municipalities in Gauteng, and they in turn will get their revenue from selling the water to citizens and industries in Gauteng. So you can see that the construction of the Polihali Dam started in November last year. The transfer tunnel started in December, and the Senku Bridge, which is another major aspect of it, was awarded in July last year, and construction also started in December. And there's a few other more minor projects, tenders or contracts, which are still to be awarded. Turning to the second project mentioned by the President, which is the Insumvubu Water Project. This project has been in the pipeline, has been a priority or planned by government for a long time. Unfortunately, it was also delayed for a number of years, partly because of a lack of available funding mechanisms for the project. As it was originally designed, it was quite expensive, approximately 18 billion rand, and there was a process between National Treasury and DWS with regard to the affordability of the project, which took a number of years to resolve. Again, with regard to this, Chairperson, I'm pleased to be able to say that those issues have now been resolved. We've worked together with National Treasury. We've done a review of the designs of the project in order to make it more affordable. And as a result of that, the project cost is now being reduced to 8 billion, the National Treasury has agreed to fund it from the fiscus, because it's largely a social infrastructure project and it's not feasible to fund it using private sector finance as with some of our other projects. So we have the necessary commitments from National Treasury for the funding of the project. Construction is currently happening on the ground for the access roads to the new Ntabalanga Dam, which will be built on the Mbubu River, which is the main part of this project. And we will start construction of the actual dam this coming financial year. The way in which we've reduced, made the project more affordable, I'll come to a bit more detail just now, but it did originally also include the Lalini Dam and the hydropower station. We've been in discussions with Eskom about that, and they've expressed a strong interest in leading the construction of the Lalini Dam and the hydropower station, which would probably be a pump storage station. So we've not included that in the project that we will fund for now. We are having ongoing discussions with Eskom, and the hope is that in the later on in the later phase of the project, Eskom will lead the process either through directly itself or through an independent power producer develop that part of the project, the Lalini Dam and hydropower station. Another way in which we made the project more affordable is that there was originally a plan to construct a brand new large water treatment works as part of the project, but actually there are water treatment works in the area under the various municipalities, and we've rather taken an approach of upgrading those existing water treatment works than building a new water treatment works, and that has also resulted in considerable savings. As part of the project, there were also plans to install a brand new water distribution system. And again, there are existing water reticulation or distribution systems of the municipalities in that area. And we've again taken the approach of rather upgrading and improving those existing systems than building a brand new one. And that has also resulted in substantial savings in making the project more affordable. The main beneficiaries of this project will be communities in the area who don't yet have piped water to individual households, and also water will be supplied for irrigation for small farmers in the area. This slide just provides a bit more detail, which I've spoken to. And then this slide just summarizes the 8.5 billion rand estimate now for Mzimbubu, and shows that in stage one, which is currently underway, which is the access roads, the money allocated for this year and next year. Stage two, which is the Ntabalanga Dam, that will start with those monies indicated there, and it will proceed through from 23-24. Through to 26-27, and simultaneously we'll be working with the various municipalities in the area to do the bulk water supply and reticulation, and we'll be drawing on our RBIG funding and MIG funding for that bulk water supply and reticulation. And there's also money allocated for the irrigation water supply. You see in the slides that we've got no allocation for the Lalini Dam and hydropower, and that's because of our discussions with Eskom, because of their interest in being the lead in that project and either funding it or doing it through an independent power producer. The other next project, which was mentioned by the president, is the raising of the Clan William Dam wall. Again, Chairperson, this project has been planned for some time. It's very important for increasing the water supply to the West Coast, the Western Cape and Cape Town. It's been delayed for a number of years, partly to problems that the DWS had with regard to procurement for its construction unit in previous years, but we've now resolving those problems, the project is going to proceed being constructed by our construction unit. We are in the process of finalizing the main procurements, full site operations anticipated to start at the end of March next month. Some of the current preparatory work which is underway include excavations and geotechnical exploration, diversion of outlet works, sealing of the radial gates, and plant batching preparations. We are trying to improve the efficiency of our procurement on this project and on other projects, particularly with regard to procuring supplies, materials, and equipment for our construction unit. And to do that, we're putting in place a construction management framework contract, which should be in place by April 2023, which will enable us to procure a lot more efficiently for our construction unit and improve expenditure as compared to previously, and move away from the delays which hampered our construction unit in the past. The next project is the raising of Hazelmere Dam. I'd like to hand over to our DDG for Infrastructure, Leonardo Manos, to present on this project and the remaining couple of projects, the major infrastructure projects. Leonardo?
Thank you, DG. Good morning, honorable members, honorable chair and deputy minister. Just to continue then, in terms of the raising of Hazelmere Dam, as we know it, that this dam was raised to actually replace the controlled spillway to an uncontrolled spillway with some innovation as far as panel key wear. This project has been delayed also for a significant time, but it is now basically at the point of being completed. By the end of this month, it should be functionally be completed. And actually will then bring a major increase of water storage or capacity, water storage capacity to Mgeni, to the Itakwini area, which will then benefit from this project. It's currently at 99.7% as it's being reported there. And then also just to say that in terms of claims that were had to be dealt with from the contractor and as part of the dispute has been ruled in favor of the department, and that we do not have to pay the 36 million in claims, but it has been reduced to 1.9 million. In terms of the raising of Zanin Dam, this dam also, the spillway has been already demolished in 2017. There were some delays, and we have replaced the implementing agent, and the Development Bank of South Africa is currently assisting us there. This dam is now bringing, or supposed to bring also additional water to the area downstream as part of the Greater Letaba River catchment in terms of the Limpopo area there. And then so we recently received the license to construct, which means that the designs that was tabled by the approved professional person that were, which is the engineer that did the design of the works, after the initial designs were done, they were identified that there's some embankment strengthening that was required, and this has now been approved by the Dam Safety Office and on the 10th of February, which means that the department can now go ahead with the construction, the further construction as far as the raising of the Zanin Dam is concerned. Our construction unit is on site, and we will then we are planning to have the start date in April as far as the raising of the Zanin Dam is concerned.
Thank you very much, Leonardo. The chairperson has indicated that the president spoke about a number of our national water resource infrastructure projects. So our function as the national department is our responsibility to develop national water resource infrastructure, which is the projects that we've spoken about. In terms of the constitution, it's the responsibility of municipalities to provide water services infrastructure, and our role with regard to water services infrastructure is to administer the two key grants that we have to help municipalities to put in place water services infrastructure, which is the regional bulk infrastructure grant and the water services infrastructure grant. So as I indicated earlier, Chairperson, we've included in the main presentation key projects in each province which are funded by our grants that we've worked with municipalities on in order to improve water services at municipal level. These are municipal projects. We They put in place infrastructure which is owned and has to be operated and maintained in the future by the municipalities. But we assist the municipalities with prioritization and identification of projects, and then we monitor their implementation of the projects with using the grant funding that we give to them. But they are the ones who receive the money and appoint the contractors. So I'm going to hand over to one of our directors in our water services branch, Masala Molaudzi, to take you through these key projects in each province. Over to you, Masala.
Thank you very much, DG, the chairperson and honorable members, the deputy minister and the colleagues present, chairperson and colleagues, like what the DG has said, we are only now in the presentation going to present only 19 key projects that we are having within our program. But generally, members, we have got more than 100 of projects that were busy implementing. What we did is only to provide only 19 of the projects that are major that were busy currently implementing. Just maybe before I go into the presentation, for Eastern Cape, we're going to talk about three projects which are as follows: is North Kidate, we also have Makana, and then also Mbizana. Next slide. And chairperson and members, when we talk about the one for North Kidate, so far now we have got this scheme that is break down into three phases, entailing the construction of the flux mixer, the two localization channels, and the settling tanks. So far now, this project is in Nelson Mandela Bay. It's moving very well. We are now pleased to announce that now the commission of this project is going to be done on the 23rd of February 2023, which is just 2 days from now. And now on, the first water was delivered on the 31st March 2022. So far now, the progress on the reservoir is 100%. The progress on the 70 megaliter a day water treatment works is 99.9%. We are generally now under a snag list. So far now, we are very pleased that within the Nelson Mandela Metro Municipality, we are going to deliver this project for the first time after many, many years. When we move into the second one within Eastern Cape, is called Makana, which is James Clean Hands Water Treatment Works project. We have been implementing this project for a number of years so far now. The scope of the project members, it is including the four phases which are listed here in the presentation, which include augmentation of the James Clean Water Treatment Works, which so far now has not yet been completed. We have got augmentation of the James Clean Water Treatment Works, which is in progress. We have got the third one, third phase, which is the upgrading of the existing pump main, which is also currently now in progress. We have got upgrading of the existing or James Clean Hands Water Treatment Works is also in progress. So far now, from the total project that was approved by the department, it was around 487 million. We are intending to, we have now received a request to increase the value of this project to 413 million. We have now already approved the increase of the value. The increase of the value was necessitated by additional work that was needed to be done, especially the upgrading of the old Clean Hands Water Treatment Works. So far now, from what we have done, the contractor for the phase of the project was him. We had at some point, like what we have presented in the last meeting, chairperson and members and deputy minister, that there was time that the contractor that was appointed was not doing well, culminating into the termination of the contractor that we have presented. We have said that no, it was not an easy decision to terminate the contractor because the work was moving. Unfortunately, it was not moving well. The contractor for the phase of the project was terminated in June 2022 due to poor performance, and then readvertisement was done in July 2022. The appointment of the new contractor was done in December 2022, which was a very good news and a progress because I think the turnaround time that we took to replace the old contractor was done much more quicker. The signed road over was done in January 2023. And they were anticipating that this project is going to be completed in October 2023. The third one from the side of Eastern Cape is the Greater Bizana Regional Bulk Water Scheme. This one is the phase two of the Lubdeke Dam, which is being implemented by Umngeni Water, one of our water entity, which is in KwaZulu-Natal. The reason why Umngeni Water is also working within the side of Eastern Cape in terms of provincial demarcation is because that project has been, we have identified Umngeni to be the best one to be able to implement this project as an entity. The work package that Umngeni Water is doing, it includes the upgrade of the Nomlau water treatment plant from 10 megaliter to 20 megaliter a day, raw water pump station, one megaliter reservoir at Nomlau water treatment works. So far now, we are saying that in terms of the progress, the work package comprises the southern and northern western Cedar bulk treated water systems with following components, which are listed below, which include the 6 reservoir pump station pipeline from 65 millimeter reducing to 215 normal out to water to Ngabeni reservoir. The other one, which is also, which were also to that, is also relevant to this meeting. There is some substantial lot of work that so far now has been done. We are anticipating that the three work packages are in different phases with construction to start in May 2023 until June 2025. But I think just maybe to summarize in terms of the date, which seems to be a little bit far of June 2025, we are hoping that should there be a need based on the implementation by Umngeni Water, we can be able now to reduce this project to be completed much more sooner than this June 2025, because it is our interest that the project that we're making, they must be finalized much more earlier than what is planned from the work plan. Next one. Now when we are moving into Free State. Free State members, we have got a number of projects from the side of RDIC. This project, there might be around 20, because almost in every municipality in Free State, they've got a major RDIC project ranging from Mangaung to all district municipalities and also local municipalities. But what we did here is only going to profile only two, the one which is under Manutia Fofong and then also Machabeng, wherein the minister has raised his, there is a serious concern around those two municipalities. With regard to Manutia Fofong, the intervention that we are currently doing is a major one, which also contains the following projects within the water and sanitation within the municipality. It's the upgrading of the strength contained water treatment works, refurbishment of and upgrading of the Africa Faso water treatment application plant. There are various number of interventions that we are doing within the municipality. We have now appointed Bloom Water as an RA and all in the above so far now Bloom Water, they've already appointed 7 provincial service providers in October, November 2022. They went on tender for most of the pipe work in January 2023. Most of the work phase which started in November will run on a multi-year up until 2027. Like what I've already indicated, we are saying that, you know, as a department, it is our view that this project can be completed much more sooner than this 2027, because 2027 is a much longer period from now on up until that time. We are busy now through the DG engaging Treasury with an intention of, if possible, getting more funding to be able to can fund this this intervention that are more critical to the department and the government. The next one is Machabeng Local Municipality. This one, it has been a problem for the Free State and also for the department. Machabeng Local Municipality is currently facing a crisis as its sewer infrastructure is completely dysfunctional. Minister and DM and the DG, they've visited this municipality and this project in particular on several occasions because of the problem that the community of Machabeng were complaining. We have so far now appointed Bloom Water to be the RA of the project. And then so far now Bloom Water has been appointed as an RA for the capital work, which includes the refurbishment and upgrading of the water treatment works. The project is implemented into three packages, which are also listed below. So far now, the appointed PSP, which was done on the 3rd of October 22, tender advancement was already being done and closed. Multi-projects are commencing from the 30th of November 2022 and then up until March 2023. We are estimating that this project is going to be a project which is going to be ranging between 18 to 24 months. Like what I've already indicated, we are anticipating that we can still decrease the period from this 18 months to 24 months. Now when we are moving to the one which is so far now, it's the Val River Intervention Project. This one is the one for the it's one of the projects that is so much critical. I think we have been within the Val River area for quite a long time, from the time of two former ministers, the current minister. I think the number of times that the DM and then the minister has been to Val River system is I think they've went there countless of times. We've had many meetings around that area of Sidibeng. So far now, Val River Intervention Program intends the Sidibeng District Municipality and the Influeni Local Municipality Sanitation Project. The objective of this Sidibeng Regional Sanitation is capex in nature, which include the upgrade and the current capacity of the sewerage system in the Influeni Local Municipality, increase the capacity of the wastewater treatment works plant, and to meet the future demand of the sanitation services. So far now, the unblocking is also continuing since it started June 2021 up until today. It was still continuing in August 2022. The refurbishment of the three pump stations started and the 10 contractors commenced, which also assists the reducing the intervention required, and then it's also going on. The upgrade of the contract of wastewater treatment works are at the design phase with the tender advertised plan for 28 February 2023, which is just next our target date is next week, Tuesday. Construction plan for July 2023 and will run for the next 36 to 54 months simultaneously. It's a big project that probably will also really need a lot of all of us to be in that area. So it has been, we have noted as a department the concern that were raised by members in the last meeting that we had on this project. We must indicate that this is one project that as a department we are heavily prioritizing. We are putting almost all our financial and fiscal resources in this project. And then we can say with certainty that we are also pleased that National Treasury is also supporting us a lot on this project, because they've also made at some point more funding for this project to be implemented. And now when we move into KwaZulu-Natal, we only have three projects that so far now we have identified. It includes the following, which is Mandakazi Regional Bulk Water Project, which is a project which is under a Zululand District Municipality. This project is covering municipalities which are on the northern part of KwaZulu-Natal. It's intent. It also goes as far as Mukanyakode. But the second project that were also prioritizing within KwaZulu-Natal includes Mukanyakode, which is section 63. I will gonna give the details when we go into the presentation itself. The third one is the Ugu District Municipality, right? When we move into Mandakazi currently, we are pleased to announce to the committee that there is water treatment works upgrades from 20 megaliter a day has already now been completed in 2019. The upgrade of the intermediate pump station has also been completed in 2019. So far now, there are areas that we are currently busy doing, which include the phase 6 of the funded, which is also been funded by RBIC. What is also pleasing on this one, which is Mandakazi on the phase 6, that we had a meeting somewhere in October, not November, wherein the minister was also in attendance, attended also by the mayor of Zululand. In that meeting, we also committed ourselves that, you know, we are going to work with the municipality, Zululand in particular, to ensure that, you know, this project is completed within reasonable time. We have also over and above that as a department, because this financial year, this project was not allocated more funding. We have requested through DG to augment the funding that we required for this financial year to that Mandakazi project. So far now, National Treasury has been requested to move some of the funding from some of the projects that are moving. We have allocated additional 285 million for this project, which shows that, you know, this is a project that we, as a department, we are really committing ourselves that, you know, we really want to see changes within that Mandakazi area. So in terms of phase six, the bulk part, which has also been funded by RBIC, new bulk pressing main and the three pump station to Labisa is currently under design. With Zululand, they have already appointed the PSP. They are now busy finalizing the design. Construction of the phase six multi-reticulation to go out on tender in March 2023. Construction to start in June 2023, which is a good news. When you look at the second one, which is within KwaZulu-Natal, we've got the Umkhanyakude intervention. This 63 intervention was necessitated, chairperson and members and DG, by inability of Umkhanyakude district municipality to implement the project that way under their management. They have been failing on a number of occasions to implement few projects that they were supposed to implement, necessitating into the department invoking this section 63 so that now Umkhanyakude can be fully supported through this section 63, which so far now this section 63 is moving. So from what we are saying, we're saying that the water intervention are designed to address hotspots in the following area, which is in Zabawalingana local municipality, priority one, which we have also listed the ones that are also going to be affected within Zabawalingana, Big Five, Savisa local municipality. There's a refurbishment and augmentation of water supply scheme in ward 6, 7, 8, 9, and 11, Jozini. And the refurbishment and augmentation of water supply scheme was 7, 6, 7. We have listed all the wards. There are so many within Tabatuba, a local municipality, then the Gezana water scheme, water supply project. The progress which so far has been made to date regarding this intervention include the following. BPs were done and finalized in June 2022, scoping and design done in September 2023. By 22 November 2022, at least 8 BPs, PSP were appointed, 37 work packages for at least 25 sites have been identified, 10 contractors have been appointed, with further 15 will be appointed in February 2023, which is next week. Some sites have been started constructing in 20 January 2023. However, multi-site projects are starting between 5 to 10 March 2023 and will run for 12 to 18 months. Bulk project is to be under planning and there will be commission for funding in June 2023, construction to begin in October 2023 and they will run for 18 to 36 months. This is within Umkhanyakude, which is also like what I've already said, that, you know, one of the major priorities for the department. We are pleased, chairperson and members, that the department has on number of occasions, because of the priority of this Umkhanyakude intervention, sent on numerous occasions, the DDG, Mr. Mate, who is presently today, not present here in the meeting, he has been stationed most of the time in Umkhanyakude, addressing this Umkhanyakude intervention, wherein he had several meetings with Akusa Water and then all affected stakeholders. This one. The next one, which is the last one within KwaZulu-Natal, is the Ugu district municipality. It is both the presidential and ministerial intervention to restore water and sanitation service in the district municipality. The department has the following commitments. Ugu has 4 projects currently being implemented in the 2022-2023 financial year, three were completed in December 2022. We are focusing on these four areas, which is the non-revenue reduction program, refurbishment and replacement of infrastructure in Ogun district municipality, revenue management plan, pipe replacement in the, of infrastructure in the Ogun district supply. Additional four business plan were submitted and approved in December 2022. We have got emergency borehole program, which is also moving very well. We have said as a department, the work that the amount of money that we required for this four business plan, it was to the tune of 150 million. The department is pleased that we have confirmed in writing to Ogu the availability of this 150 million that was required to cover this four business plan. The construction is to begin in March 2023 through the use of existing panel of contractors to accelerate the work. Project to run for 6 to 12 months on a short to medium term. The long-term project to commence in November 2023 for multi-year project is there still to be confirmed, this long-term project. Next one. Within Limpopo, we have got five major projects which we have listed, but what we have only did was only like what I've already indicated, only indicated fewer major projects, but this project, they are not, we still have a lot of other projects which are within Limpopo. So within Limpopo, we're going to be covering Nandoni Kunsami bulk pipeline. We're also going to be covering one of the major ones, which is the Giani Water Services, the sister crew of Giani Wastewater Treatment, Treatment Wet Phase 1, recirculation of 55 villages in Giani, which is also Phase 1, Olifant Ebenezer Water Supply Scheme. Within the Nandoni Nsami bulk water pipeline, the project entails construction of two bulk water pipelines to provide water to Giani and the greater Malamulele area, as well as a pump station at the Nandoni Wastewater Treatment Works to supply water to the raw pipeline, which means that, you know, this Nandoni Nsami is covering two district municipalities, which is Mupane and also Wembe. Like Giani is within Mupane, and then Malamulele area is within Wembe district municipality. The installation of this pipe from Nandoni to Nsami is completed. Pressure testing, installation of water valves, and the construction of chambers in progress. Temporary connection on river crossing completed in January 2023. My apology. While construction of permanent structure is in progress to be completed by April 2023. Installation of raw water pumps is in progress to be completed in February 2023. Mobile pumps are also provided to fill the pipeline and test system, while installation of permanent pumps is also in progress. The first delivery of raw water to Giani is expected by first week of March 2023, which is next week, with full project completion expected March 2023. These are the secondary, Giani secondary mains. We have also listed them in terms of these are the one which is, this one is being implemented by the Grand Northern Water. The current project scope entailed the construction of 325 kilometer pipeline section in 8 back pipeline to provide water to Giani. The project is under construction and the overall progress to date is 58%. Over 300 kilometer of the 325 pipeline is installed, and then 18 of the 65 pipeline connection to the reservoir, which is 27.5% are completed, supplying bulk water to the community. The final completion of the project is planned for July 2023. However, pipelines will be functionalized progressively on completion of water supply to the community. The fourth one, the refurbishment of Giani Water Treatment Works, which is also to upgrade it from 25 to 30 megaliter a day. Project entails the refurbishment of the existing 30 megaliter a day water treatment works in Giani to restore operational capacity. Business plan for the project was approved by the department, which is also part of the phase one. Budget set aside through WOSIC in the current financial years. And then we are saying that, you know, from what we are saying, the appointment of Mupane as the implement agency is finalized, and MOU is signed in August 2022, not August 2023. My apology there. The procurement of the contractor for Giani Water Treatment Works Pavilion was finalized and the contractor to commence with work in January, well, has already commenced with the work in January 2023. The project is to be completed in 6 months. With regard to the reticulation of the 24 villages, which is part of phase one, because we have now categorized the work that is being done within Giani in terms of phases, in terms of phase one, we are saying the project entails construction of the reticulation to the 55 villages supplied by Giani Bulk Waters Project. The project implemented in phases, phase one will cover 24 of the 55 villages. Business plan and technical reports for phase one of the reticulation project of the 24 villages has already been approved by the department. I think with regard to the other one, which is the 21 villages, or the 21 business plan, they are still to be submitted by Mupane District Municipality, and they will be addressed as and when we are now moving into phase two. The appointment of Mupane District Municipality as an improving agency has been finalized and the MOU has been signed with the department. Budget has been set aside through WOSIC. WOSIC is one of our grants, like what the DG has indicated, in the current financial year to start with the implementation. Well, I can also say from where we are sitting here, we can also be able to see that, you know, the budget has also been set aside for the coming financial year, which is financial year 2023-2024, which means that, you know, we have made enough and adequate budget to cover for this phase one, which is covering 24 villages. The contractors for the three of the 24 villages assigned to the partially completed pipeline are appointed to start with the reticulation project. The construction is expected to start, has already started, in January 2023, procurement of the contractors for the reticulation of the remaining 21 villages will be completed progressively by March. We are hoping that probably by March 2023 we have finalized with almost all of them. I must be able to indicate, Chairperson and members here, that we had, in terms of our initial plan with the Mupane District Municipality, we were initially planning that we would have appointed almost all these 24 contractors by December 2022, but it did not happen because of some supply chain processes that were being faced by Mupane District Municipality. I must also indicate that Mupane District Municipality, because they have been appointed as an IA, procurement is being done by Mupane and not by the department. If it was being done by the department, probably by now would have already appointed almost all 24 contractors. The department, which is through our regional office, they are participating in the Mupane bid committees to ensure regularly, to ensure that, you know, there is there's no irregularities within what is being done. The project is planned to be implemented in 12 months. When we move into the next one, is the one for Olifant Urbanizer project. Members, Chairperson and members and Deputy Minister, this is one of our very big projects within Limpopo province. Over the last 5 years or so, Liberal Northern Water has been complaining to the department and also to Treasury that they need funding for the acquisition of this important project. So far now, National Treasury has approved to contract them to the refurbishment and the upgrade of this project. The funding are now being appropriated under Appropriation Act and then managed by the department. Normally, the department is the one that transfers funds to Liberal Northern Water. So this is a multi-year project which entails the design, upgrade, and development of the orphan sport and urbanizer water supply scheme, bulk water infrastructure to meet the 2036 water demands impacting areas of Lupane, Tshifo, and then also surrounding areas. The scope of the project includes, we have listed almost all the scope, which you move from number one to number 30. We are pleased to say that, you know, the PSP has been appointed on a multiple phase design The PSP has been completed, the appointment of the PSP has been completed in October 2022, tender date in November 2022, refurbishment construction to start in March 2023. Construction to start of major upgrade and urbanization project to start in October 2023 up until 2025. I can be able to say that now, in terms of our plan target, we were anticipating that somewhere mid last year, the refurbishment would have already started, but I think the refurbishment could not start as planned because of some of the supply chain challenges that have been experienced by the Department of Transport. The department is busy engaging both the board together with the management of Nipurano Thermal Water, with the intention that they must be able to fast track the implementation, the construction of this work that so far now has already been fully funded for this financial year. I can be able to say that, you know, for this financial year, the department has transferred 424 million to the Nipurano Thermal Water for them to be able to implement this refurbishment program. Within Mpumalanga, we have got two projects. The first one is Loskop, the other one is Lekwa. Like what I've already indicated, members, we have got in Mpumalanga, we also have one major project that I mentioned, which are also including both the Rikopis and then also Sivange, which are in the other side of Tanzania, in particular Ukomazi area. Those projects are major, bigger projects, which are to the tune of over a billion rand. But I think maybe in the future, it should need be also time allow, we'll also be able to profile them. But for now, for the purpose of this meeting, we're only going to be focusing on Loskop and also Lekwa. When we're moving into Lekwa, on Loskop, the progress so far now is a cross-border boundary scheme, which is including part of Mpumalanga and also Limpopo. Three of the five works packages has already been awarded so far. We have already established sites. For this project, we have appointed Nkangala as an IA for this work. They have got work packages which are moving from work package one to work package five. So far now, we could be able to say that, you know, in terms of our plan, we have said that, you know, we have now written in terms of provided, in terms of what so far now has already been done with regard to this one of Loskop. But when I'm moving into, for an example, the first level of water is expected in May 2024, with full project completion expected in November 2024. It is our plan because from what the municipality has requested, Nkangala, district municipality, they have requested the department that the department must confirm the funding of the entire five water, these work packages, which we have done. So from what we have planned, we are planning that, you know, probably we'll be able to fund the entire 1.8 billion, which is needed for this project. In terms of the next one, which is Lekwa Water Services Intervention. Lekwa, it is within Herbstreet District Municipality. And then on the standard 10 sites, this project so far now is one of the one minister intervention, which in July 22, it was entailed the provision support in order to ensure that service delivery for the community of Lekwa is improved. The work entailed the refurbishment of wastewater treatment works, repair and maintenance of civil services, reduction of leaks to reduce water loss. So far now, we have said that, you know, 19 projects were identified as a priority project. However, one project, which is the backup power, had withdrawn due to concern raised by municipalities relating to operational challenges, diesel in particular. Some of the projects identified related to operational maintenance of water and sanitation infrastructure. As such, the department engaged National Treasury for repurposing of the RBIC from CAPEX to operational maintenance to. And then Treasury also approved that request, which was very good on the side of the department, because for some other requests that we have made to National Treasury for them to convert our allocation, which is capex in nature being to operating maintenance, that normally not support, but for this one, they supported it because we were able to advise the National Treasury of the implication of them not approving this this convention which was done. The scoping report for all the projects has been compiled and then also approved. The WOSIC business plan were developed and completed and signed in December, in September 2022. Tenders were issued for all the project, 19 work packages in 2022. Evaluation underway until end of February 2023, which is just next week, Tuesday. We are expecting that the construction to commence in April 2023 and running for multi-year on a 12 to 18 month period. In terms of Northwest, we are focusing on the three projects, which are BRES, Dinokan, and also Pelanisbeek projects. The upgrading of BRES water treatment works. So far now, during the past 5 years, the BRES plant has been struggling to meet the demand, and while deteriorating raw water, they placed an additional burden on the plant in trying to produce a final water quality, adhering to class one standard, to provide additional water for this 75,000 households in the Madiven local municipality. We have got the scope, which also have the project is being implemented in four phases. So far now, we could say that now the phase one, which is including the refurbishment of BRES water treatment works, has been completed. The upgrading of the raw water pump station mechanical work has also been completed. The phase three, which is the upgrading of the BRES water treatment works from 16 megaliter a day to 80 megaliter, including process, so it's in progress. The phase four, which is part of the upgrading of raw water pipeline and the distribution pipeline command reservoir, is also in progress. We are saying that now this project started way early. It started in 2014 on a multi-year funding, and then it's due for completion June 2023. The second one is the one for Dinokana. We are now providing you members with honorable members with the progress on the Dinokana. The scope of the work includes drilling and refurbishment of boreholes, installation of storage tanks, extension of recirculation lines, and installation of communal stand pipes in the Dinokana area. We have got part one, which is, and also part two. So far now, with regard to part one, we could say that now the PSP has been appointed, the construction to start in April 2023. The part two, which is the longer term work to be done, which is entail the implementation of the Dinokana high water scheme by augmenting water treatment works, command reservoir. We are anticipating that no work is under planning to be implemented by Macalis Water in the third quarter of 2023, and it will be running between 18 to 36 months. Third quarter, it is a quarter which is gonna be coming between July to September. Next one. The last one for the within Northwest, which is Pelanisbeek South, phase two, Mapenya to Kusabane Reservoir, which is part of Northwest under Rustenburg local municipalities. We have got project description, which is the project entail construction of 30 megaliter Kusabane Reservoir, a pump station at Mapenya, and then a pipeline that takes water from existing 50 megaliter reservoir to Sabane reservoir. So far now, what we could say, which is part of the progress to date, the construction of 30 megaliter Sabane reservoir, which has been completed. Construction of pump station at Mapenya reservoir is ongoing. Construction of 28 kilometer pipeline that connects Mapenya and the new Sabane reservoir is estimated to be completed March 2024. The project has a projected impact of at least 65,000 households under Moses Kotan municipality, Rustenburg local municipality, and Ketling municipality, which means that now this project is an important project because it's cater for three municipalities within Northwest area. The project is a multi-year and a multi-phase project that started in 2016 and will run up until 2023. 2026.
Thank you very much, Masala. Another issue which was raised in the President's State of the Nation address was the progress of DWS in terms of improving the turnaround times for multi-use licenses. And in that regard, we've made good progress. With a year or two, there was a big backlog of water use license applications to process. The President also made commitments in previous owners about eradicating the backlog. You can see from this table, if you look along the top of the table, it shows various dates when we were pursuing the eradication of this backlog and the progress made. And the bottom, and the, on the bottom of the table shows the total. So you can see at the time of this owner in 1 February 2022, the backlog of cases was 998, and by 10 February 2023, that had been reduced to zero. Also, we used to take on average about 300 days to process a water use license. We've put in place a number of improvement measures to lower the turnaround time. And we're now in this situation where we're currently finalizing approximately 70% of water use license applications within 90 days. So we want to come much closer to achieving the President's target that he set for us of processing 100% of applications within 90 days in the coming financial year. The improvement, the key improvement initiatives that we've put in place so far, just go to the next slide, please, have included business process re-engineering, which is complete, training of DWS officials, which is complete, improving the quality of the licenses which are issued in terms of the conditions attached to the licenses, and also improvements to the electronic e-ruler system, which have been mostly complete, and there's some additional ruler information requirements that we're going to be publishing by the end of March. The key remaining improvement initiative that we need to, we need to do for the water use licenses is to fill the positions, fill vacant positions. In order to do this, we had to wait for the new organizational structure to be finalized and for the consultation processes with organized labor to be completed in that regard. The organizational structure was approved by the minister late last year, and the first positions that we prioritized for filling are additional technical positions in water use licensing in the regional offices, and we have advertised a substantial number of such positions in January, and the recruitment process will be finalized by March or April. So we believe that with these additional technical positions in our regional offices, in the units which do most of the work related to the processing water use license applications, that will then enable us to get much closer to processing 100% of water use license applications within the target of 90 days that the President set. Next slide, please. Chairperson, the committee also asked us to report on interventions and actions taken by DWS to manage the flood events which have been in the news in the past week or two. And I'd like to ask Leonardo to come back to present to us, to present this slide to us on our actions. I'm doing that because Leonardo has been very closely involved because as the DDG for infrastructure, his unit is the unit which is responsible for managing and operating the dams on an ongoing basis and for doing things like making decisions as to when to open the sluice gates in times of extremely heavy rains when the dams get very full. Leonardo?
Thank you, Gigi. Honourable members, we have a situation in early 2023 where we have experienced flood conditions across the country, and it has impacted almost all provinces, all our dams across Limpopo, KZN, Mpumalanga, as well the Free State. Those areas are all basically in a space where we can say that they are spilling. Except for the Western Cape, obviously, because they are receiving winter rainfall. And at this point in time, the dams in that area have not actually benefited as much. And then also quite worrisome as well as Nelson Mandela Bay's dams, in local dams in the western part of Nelson Mandela Bay. Kulfa Dam is still at 12% and Impofu Dam is still at 6% in spite of the remainder of Eastern Cape dams. They also in a spilling condition. Now, most of the dams that the department is responsible for would be dams that have uncontrolled spillways, which means that what is coming into the dam during a flood period is basically then also released over the dam wall in terms of its of the spillway. That would be the case.
What's wrong,
Renato?
Are you gone?
We can hear you, sir.
I hear you, but I can't hear you. I hear you now.
Okay, Jefferson, I will then proceed. In terms of the dam management that we are doing, we are operating all large state dams according to operating rules that are being predetermined by our water resource management unit, to taking modeling of the information that we have hydrologically to say what would be the best way of operating a dam under which conditions, whether it would be drought conditions and whether it be normal conditions as well as flood conditions. Now, our hydrology unit will plays a very strong responsibility in here. But
Who is that person? Can I proceed, Jeff? Yes, okay. Someone was disturbing you. You can.
Thank you, Chairperson. So our hydrology unit is taking responsibility then also for measuring the present and making certain predictions that they then actually give us amendments to the operating rules in terms of what needs to be done during such flood period. So this will also allow the dams that we have, they have got basically one primary function, which is then the storage of dams, and we need to actually ensure that we keep that as a primary role to ensure that during non-rainfall periods that we still have water in our government water schemes within our main river systems to then release gradually so that they remain water, because if we don't have these dams, there simply will be no water to flow during the non-rain period. However, the dam also has a secondary function, which is to attenuate peak flows, peak floods. And that would mean that we either use some of the capacity that is remaining in a dam to actually soften the peak or flatten the peak as it will then be then discharged after that. So when you sit with a situation like we have currently in the country, where we also had high flows or high rainfall and high runoff emanating from that rainfall during the period of November and December, it meant that we already sat with a lot of dams that already had a lot of water in it. And that meant that our flood attenuation capacity was basically minimized, but still we managed to a large extent to still do some flood attenuation where we could. Now, when we change or we do discharge charges from our dams where we can, we also have communication channels through to the local authorities to warn downstream communities and users for a changing in flow conditions and therefore necessary preparations could be made to actually move away from the rivers. However, the department is also being quite strong in its communication to local authorities and to water users, riparian users downstream as well from any dams, to say that there should not be any permanent development within the 100-year floodline, to actually also safeguard proactively our communities from such. harm when there would be floods. Unfortunately, this is not always being implemented as it should, but that is in terms of the communication that we are doing. Now, for the damaged municipal water and sanitation infrastructure, the department has been assisting in the areas to actually do some assessments and assist municipalities in that regard. But I just wanted to come back quickly, Chairperson, to the controlled spillways that we have, especially in the Vaal system, that we have two dams that we have to, basically three dams in the Vaal system that has to be managed with controlled spillways. That would be the first one that is far upstream, which is called the Prodry Dam in the Standerton area. And then we have the Vaal Dam, and then we have the Bloemhof Dam. So what we have to do in such instance, we do with our hydrology unit, we are measuring and keep on monitoring flows in the system, and that determines what we release. So just for instance, in terms of the Vaal system, in the Vaal Dam itself, we just to give you an example, yesterday we were still receiving peak flows coming into the dam to the volume of about 3,200 cubic meters per second. With the 12 gates that were opened at that stage, we were discharging 2,340 cubic meters per second, which means that we released less than what we were receiving into the dam. And even though the dam yesterday started off at 113%, it's currently close to 119%, which means that we are using those hydraulic measures that we have in terms of controlled spillway, that we are keeping some of the water back in the dam so that the flow below the dam is lower than what we receive. So the peak going through the dam is actually lower than what we actually then release. And the last point that I also want to raise, there has been a point made that the department has opened the sluice gates quite rapidly, and that is also need to just to be rectified, that we actually commenced on the 10th of February, way before a peak was detected, but when we saw some runoff coming into the system, that we started opening one gate and then two gates, and so we increased the gate until we actually peaked as from Friday, where we had 12 gates. So at this point in time, the weather predictions are informing us that it might not be there might not be a peak rainfall expected anymore, and our inflows have been dropping since yesterday. It's currently measuring at about 2,300 cubic meters per second, lessens the likelihood of actually opening further gates as far as the Vaal system is concerned. However, honourable members, we are watching the cyclone that is already in the or actually crossing Madagascar at this point in time, so that we can perhaps have to see whether further reviews have to be made in the future. Thank you, DG.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to add, at the moment we don't yet have reports of major damage to water and sanitation infrastructure from these recent floods. But as the presentation indicates, we are participating in the local joint operating centres with municipalities. We do have our people on the ground collecting information. And we will develop plans to assist the municipalities when we do identify any damage to water and sanitation infrastructure resulting from the recent floods. So as things stand now, it's not nearly as bad as the situation that occurred in Etegwini last year with the major floods there, where there was major damage to water and sanitation infrastructure. As I indicated earlier, we have included in Annex D the update on progress with addressing that flood damage from last year. Thank you very much, Chair. That brings us to the end of the presentation.
Thank you very much. I know members, we have to prioritize and choose between getting more information and meeting our time targets. And I know that we have to travel between our place of residence to Parliament by half past 12, so we need to minimize time. But I'm sure the presentation was too informative. We needed this information enough for us to can, wherever we go, debate, defend, or give answers to the questions as raised. So very, very good information, DG. And I think we will engage and ask questions in order for us to understand and comprehend the deepness of the information presented to ourselves. As I said, we shall deal with this one and then we come to the second phase. But I think the presentation has been made in order. It has overlapped a bit. Let me see hands on the portal. I want to just keep the promise I made earlier in the times before today that I will speak last because I was made to not to be the one who speaks first when in actual fact I'm sharing the meeting. So I will do that. I see the hand of Honorable Musala and Honorable Leon. Thus far, the two hands. And okay, Honorable Fete, send it, it came up. Thus far, I've got the three. I will see later. Let's continue.
Chairperson,
yes.
I've also raised my hand, Honorable Mukoto.
No, you did not raise your hand, but I think I will note you want to speak as the first person.
Thank you.
It is Honorable Mutala, Honorable Leon, Honorable Shelley, is that you? Yeah, so your hand is up. I can see Comrade Shelley, Comrade Honorable Nancy Sisoy, and Honorable Grace Seke.
No, thanks so much.
In that order.
Thanks so much, Chairperson. I've got a few questions to ask, which are directed to the department. Chairperson, on page 10, bullet 3, could an explanation be given on whether the department has undertaken a study on the economic value that could be attained with the Umzimvubu water project? And on page 12, Chair, they are projected funding for the Umzimvubu additional funding and attached time frames. Will the TCTA and the water trading entity be charged securing off take agreements? Chairperson, the impact of load shedding on water and sanitation infrastructure has created major challenges for the provision of water and sanitation and operations and maintenance of water and sanitation infrastructure. How is this being addressed, or should Water Services Authority include a separate budget for procuring high-level generators to ensure that water provision is sustainable? Chair, are there sustainable operations and maintenance budget allocated for each of these infrastructure projects? Chairperson, the President talked of the centrality of water security for current and future needs. In light of South Africa's reliance of water sourcing from the Kingdom of Lesotho, will the royalties paid to Lesotho be increased on a yearly basis? Or what is the current modus of operandi in payments of royalties? Lastly, Chairperson, the department has been talking on this project for a long time, but the presentation only talks of commencement of each project. What was the initial allocated funding on each of these projects? And what are these additional costs? It also appears as if the department is only commencing this project over the medium term, but budget was already utilized on this project? Will the department, will previous funding on this project be considered as fruitless and wasteful expenditure? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, I'm going a little bit off of what was presented, but just asking one question. In the media, it's been said that the dam safety of our dams and of our 20 top dams run by the department, only 1% of those dams, that means two dams, are in line with dam safety, and that the Stilfontein and the Vaal Dam does not comply. The question here is to the department, do they not comply because you've done a compliance on that and you've picked up that they do not comply, or don't they comply because it's not being done? Dam safety has not been done on that dams. Thank you, Chairperson.
She's not there, Honorable Mukhutu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. I would like to ask the following questions. On page 32, the procurement of the contractor for the Giyani water treatment works for refurbishment was finalized. Who is the contractor that was given the contract, and how will tensions on local people employed on the project be managed, as this was previously a contested issue? The second question, on page 25, the Vaal intervention program entails failed, or there has been partly achieved interventions. Since the inception of the Vaal program, what is the total cost from inception to date, and what is the current projected cost for the long-awaited completion of this program? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Are you ready?
Yes, I am ready. Thank you very much for your patience. I have a network problem. Just two questions, Chair. Firstly, let's appreciate the presentation that is presented by the DG under the leadership, under your leadership, Chair. That's two areas. Also, it's important to appreciate the role played by Treasury on this Mzimvubu, because we're told that there is a need of making a value for money, a economic analysis with Treasury and the department. And I think this outcome has been long been waited for, which comes with the affordability of the project. But I need to be given assurance. We are 10 kilometers to Lalini and a dam where I stay. There are taps that have been created by the department that do not have water. I do want to plead with the department that in this process, they should make a very clear research analysis about what happened to those depths. Is the infrastructure under the ground, so that there's no duplication of the infrastructure when the dams are created and water is to be distributed to individual households. So it's important that that should be made so that we don't waste money in the process. The second issue on the Mzimvubu, I appreciate the implementation plan that is given to many dams and projects that are presented here by the DDG. But still, that 8 billion of Mzimvumo is not clarified, because it's a project that has been there for more than 20 years. And it's important that we get the process plan of that project. Now that the money is availed, what's going to happen, when, by who, and the funding, so that people's confidence is recovered from that project. I'm worried about the partnership that the department is expecting from Eskom. Eskom has got huge problems. How I wish that the department should firstly understand how is Eskom going to present its program and the designs that are going to be done. So that, because the issue of electricity that also affects water is a cry in our community. Not that we don't want Eskom, but let Eskom be well structured when it enters programs of this nature, so that we are confident that Eskom is now ready to deliver. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Seke.
Thank you, Chair.
I forgot to put my face, Chair. My apologies.
No, I'm not quite sure what's happening. Chair, I see you can't see my picture.
We see Parliament, Chair.
You see Parliament, and I'm here. I don't know. Let me switch off. I don't know what's happening, DM.
Yeah, that's Parliament.
Yeah. No, thanks very much, Chair. And let me also appreciate the progress report. Definitely. I like you, Chair. But at least the voice, you can hear it's me. Let me appreciate the progress report that has been presented by the department in terms of securing water for our communities, Chair. And I think if we manage to complete this project, I think our country will be a better place to stay. Our communities will be able to get water out of all this infrastructure that we are building throughout the country. And I think it's our responsibility, Chair, to make sure that we conduct oversight, not only interacting with the department, but going on the ground too, just to see and to see the progress that is implemented by the department. Chair, the President, in terms of the load shedding and its impact, the President has indicated in his State of Nation address that where technically possible, we should be able to, or the government must be able to exempt critical infrastructure such as hospitals and water treatment plants from load shedding. I don't hear the department's voice in terms of the response on this matter. I know the announcement is still new, but we understand how load shedding is impacting in terms of water infrastructure. Do we have any interaction that we are doing either within ourselves or with municipalities or with Eskom in terms of exempting our water treatment plants and waste treatment plants with regard to load shedding? The second issue, Chair, just two issues. The second issue is on when the department was presenting on the infrastructure in Mpumalanga, I think they only made mention of the LOSCOP and the LEGWA. But I know currently, in the current financial year, there was a project on Rusty Venter, and the department is quiet about it. Just want to get what's happening with that project. I know there was an amount of money that was allocated to this project, but we can't get the progress report as you're speaking.
just to get that report. But also, just my last comment is on the, we're noting also the progress report that was done in terms of the issuing of licenses or eradicating the backlog that was there in terms of water licenses. I think we appreciate this, DG, and we're hoping that we maintain the standard as it is now. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, members. That was the last end, I think, before I can come in. Let me just try to come in. Just in the question form, DM and Minister, if you are already in, and the DG. First, the stage time frame on your opening presentation, each and every stage of what you do, either your feasibility study, your pre-feasibility study, your project, all of them takes a financial year. 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025, 2026. Why is that? Yes, I know. In the presentation, the presenter did say that, no, you are going to review the time frames because the time frames go way beyond our term of office. You might want to review those. But at a written presentation, it still remains like that. So we might be failing to want to hold you accountable to what you are saying by word of mouth, vis-a-vis what you said in your presentation, because your presentation is addressing my concerns already. But I thought I need to raise it because it is written like that, even if you are bettering the presentation in a form of your presentation, because you realize that the time is far above what we can comprehend as this fifth term of parliament. On the issue of the Lesotho Highland project, and I heard that Honorable Mashala did ask the question whether, don't you want to talk about the previous commitment in terms of financial status? Maybe you will go to answer those papers, but what I wanted us to do is also for us to be briefed by yourselves as to the commercial part of that project in Lesotho. How is it doing? How beneficial is it to our people and to even to the people of Lesotho? And I know that you have been spending money for quite some time there. That's fine. And I'm sure in answering Honorable Mashala, you might want to cover that. But the commercial part of the area, remember, we are dealing with the fishes that were being transferred, which was being exported to Australia and other places, and the whole malls that we need to build on the other side of the mountains. How beneficial, how what's the progress in terms of beneficiation of the people of Lesotho and the business of South Africa as they're putting money there? On the Umzumvubu, we must thank you for being innovative, for instance, cutting down the 18.1 billion rand that was budgeted, if you are going to start afresh in building from afresh all other things, and chooses to want to upgrade those that were there, and they gave us about 8.1 billion rand then instead of 17.5 billion. And I think that's good in initiatives. We must thank you for doing that, because we must spend money for the purposes of wanting to beneficiate our budgetary processes, and I think that's very important. In your plan, Williams, and in all other places where we are using our construction unit, please don't forget that we did raise the issue about the construction unit. We raised the issue of its whiteness and its oldness in terms of manpower. We can see that we are not reporting on the work they are doing every day, but we have raised the point that construction unit must actually be transformed to represent the demographics of South Africa. And even though we had you, DG, that you said it's an old unit, old as it might be, it must still be meeting the demographics of the country. That progress report we will need.
In all the programs that, and a very good programs, and you're all over the country in all provinces, good. And I think we are still falling into the sickness of us not wanting to talk about the good work we are doing. And I want to request honestly, Minister, the Deputy Ministers and the DG, beef up your communicating department. Just to communicate what you are doing. Take us through, let us know what you are doing. Because each and everyone who opens his mouth cry about water. Sometimes there is a heavy rain. We are being blamed for not having given people water when the infrastructure has been removed. A mere explanation of what causes the unavailability of water because of heavy rains can be made by ourselves, and the budget will be taken away from ourselves department. But we are not communicating. I don't understand why are we not doing that. General, you are now in the provinces that you are giving responsibilities, wanting to believe and trust that all of us that these municipalities will have got enough skills, knowledge, and capacity to implement our programs as we envisage them. I doubt whether you don't want to second an expertise in most of the projects you are doing to monitor and oversee that indeed work is being done accordingly. Because we know that our municipalities have got either not capable to do work, or they just do not have skills and therefore failing to comprehend the work they're supposed to do. I was to ask a question you have already answered in Bizana, that why is Umgeni water be used at Bizana when the political taps are very rife in that area between the Eastern Cape and KZN? Is it not going to cause delay that they will say that you are coming there with your own projects, with your own implementing agencies when they have got their own? But I have you talking about it, and showing will give assurances that no, indeed, you have looked at it and it is working very well. I must say that I appreciate, to me, the issues that you are raising in all provinces. But finally, in the Mpumalanga area, there is an area in Mpumalanga called Taba Chuim. Mashaba will know, that's Mapulani and Taba land. That Mapulani and Taba land lacks a lot of water. There is a lot of water coming from several Panikar dams that come from Mutazi River and everything else. But the people of Taba Chuim does not have water. And in the process of you talking to these issues here, the area of Taba Chuim is not spoken to. I know that you have said that there is quite a lot of other projects you are talking about, but because Mapulani land is our tribal land, I raise interest there. Whether is it part of the things you are going to do, and if not, what is the plan about Taba Chuim municipality? Thank you very much. Yeah, that's Minister, if you are available, the Deputy Minister, if the Minister is not yet arrived, and then the DG will then follow you, depending on how you want to respond to these issues.
Minister is here. I was holding the fort when he was wrapping up that meeting. He will lead us, Chairperson. You see, I have a very good light where I'm standing. But the minister
where do you get it?
There's a hydropower station. The minister has some hydro that Eskom uses. I'm fine. Clean energy. No, Umatumane no mama kasi bas join them out DJ. Kala ichu snige zunda visit. Umatumane as well.
Minister, where are your hands?
I'm not sure whether the minister can hear us. No more saying hello, Shady Matuman.
Masinga expose kwa nelo shedding asize OTT.
Let's ask the DJ to respond. Me and Mama Gaz will come in and then the minister will wrap up. DJ, okay. With your team.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to start by answering some of the questions and then I'm going to ask colleagues to add. So firstly, with regard to Homs and Bubu and the Honourable Mokhlala asked about whether the TCTA and the NWRA would be involved in raising finance for Mzimbubu and offtake agreements. The answer is no, because Mzimbubu is going to be funded completely from the fiscus. So that's the point that I was making, that we've reached agreement with Treasury on making the project more affordable and it will be completely funded from the fiscus. So the TCTA won't be involved, nor the NWRA in future, because it doesn't need to be funded through offtake agreements. There were a couple of questions, including from Honourable Mokhlala and I think from Honourable Seki, about the impact of load shedding on water supply. As Honourable Members will know, the President announced the problem of load shedding and the electricity supply situation as a national disaster during the State of the Nation address very recently. I'm informed that the Presidency and COGSA, the Disaster Management Unit, are still setting up the structures for management of that disaster. But in the meantime, as DWS, we have made a submission to the Presidency, to the team in the Presidency working on the management of the electricity situation, the electricity supply situation. I think it's called the National Electricity Coordination Center, something like that. We've made a submission with proposals as to what can be done to manage the impact on water and sanitation services. And the key elements of our submission are that firstly, that it's necessary to have a bottom-up approach, and that we can't at national level manage what needs to be managed at the municipal level primarily and initially. So municipalities need to make decisions as to whether they're going to purchase generators. In most cases, municipal water and sanitation infrastructure isn't fed with electricity directly by Eskom. It's fed with electricity by their own municipality electricity departments. So if that municipal infrastructure is going to be exempted from load shedding, it actually has been an arrangement between the water and sanitation department in the municipality and the electricity department in the municipality in most instances. And it's quite complicated because often the municipal water and sanitation infrastructure is embedded in municipal electricity grids which serve large areas. So it's not possible for the municipality technically from electricity distribution point of view often to just isolate the water and sanitation pumping stations. In order to isolate those pumping stations in the current municipal electricity grid configurations, they would actually have to isolate much larger areas, which might make it difficult for them to meet the load shedding requirements from Eskom, which are necessary if we're going to avoid a collapse of the electricity grid. So the first point to make is that it needs to be a bottom-up approach, rather than a top-down approach, with municipalities playing a key role in deciding what needs to be done. Having said that, though, there are a number of things that we're proposing that could be led from national level and that could be part of the disaster management process. The first is that what often happens is that why there's water shortages and load shedding is because water to households is fed from reservoirs, and the reservoirs feed that water to households through gravity. And when the water level becomes low in the reservoir, then it can't get to the high-lying areas. And the water becomes low in the reservoirs because either the water boards or the municipalities don't have electricity to run their pumps to pump sufficient water into the reservoirs during periods of load shedding. So there's a couple of things that we've suggested. One is that both the water boards and the municipality should maximize water treatment while electricity is available. And secondly, that they should optimize the operations of their reservoirs. In other words, that during load when it's not load shedding, they should keep the reservoirs as full as possible so there can be maximum storage once load shedding starts. We've been inquiring, we haven't yet done a full survey of all the municipalities, but we do have information at the National Department on which of our water boards have so far purchased generators and put them in. Some water boards have gone further. For example, Rand Water has also put in some hydropower facilities in some of its infrastructure. And Rand Water is also in the process of procuring solar power as well. They've also procured a number of large generators. A number of other water boards have done similarly. On the basis of the information that I have so far from our knowledge of the municipalities, from our regional heads, quite a number of municipalities have also purchased generators, but we don't yet know. We're still going to do a survey across all municipalities to determine exactly which ones have got generators and which are planning to purchase generators. One of the problems is that that we are aware of is that for those municipalities which are struggling in terms of their revenue, they struggle to keep the generators running because of the very high cost of diesel of running these large generators. So we've also proposed to the presidency that all water boards and municipalities should be encouraged to put in place alternative sources of power. In the short term, that would be diesel power generators, but in the medium term, it can be sources of power with much lower operational costs, such as solar power coupled with inverters and batteries. In the medium to longer term as well, water boards and municipalities should be encouraged where financially feasible to build additional storage capacity so that if there's periods of load shedding, then they have more storage capacity so that they can draw on that storage capacity during the periods of load shedding. Also an important thing is that even households can increase their water storage capacity through putting in place rainwater catchment tanks. And there, a possible measure that could be considered is tax incentives for households to put in place rainwater catchment tanks, just as there's tax incentives that the president announced for households to put in place rooftop solar. We are also recommending, currently the situation is that any person or entity which receives electricity directly from ESCOM can apply for an exemption from load shedding from ESCOM. And many of our water boards have applied for exemptions from load shedding from ESCOM and have received those exemptions. As I indicated, it's more complicated at municipal level because the electricity is normally supplied by the municipality rather than by ESCOM. One of the suggestions that we've made is that ESCOM should review its exemption application processes so that they can be expedited and shortened so that anybody applying for an exemption for water and sanitation infrastructure can get that exemption a lot quicker. We're also suggesting that some of these measures could be, if there is going to be disaster management funding as part of this electricity disaster, that some of these measures could be included in possible recipients of electricity disaster funding. For example, that municipalities could get money in order to purchase generators and for the running costs of generators during this very difficult period of heavy load shedding. With regard to the issue of loyalties paid to Lesotho, which was raised by Honourable Mokhlala, all the loyalties paid to Lesotho are governed in terms of the international agreement between South Africa and Lesotho, which also includes inflation-related increases. So So in our interactions between our commissioners in the Lesotho Highlands Water Commission and our Basotho counterparts, we do manage the payments, and it's always done in terms of the existing international agreement between South Africa and Lesotho. It's governed by that. I'm not sure about the question about initially allocated funding. There's no funding allocated to the Lesotho Highlands project. The Lesotho Highlands project is funded completely, as I indicated, by private sector finance, both the first phase and the second phase. So the TCTA, as I indicated, raises money on the market, and that money is then transferred to the Lesotho Highlands Development Authority, which then uses the money to construct the infrastructure. That's how the first phase of the Lesotho Highlands was built, and it's how the second phase of the Lesotho Highlands is being built as well. So there's no funding being allocated, and there's no initial funding allocated. The first phase of the Lesotho Highlands finished many years ago, and the second phase, which is starting now, is also being funded through the TCTA using money raised on the private finance markets. In terms of the expenditure on the Vaal project to date, from inception, the Vaal project has been through a number of phases, and there were various bodies involved in assisting with its implementation. It's currently being the intervention is being led by Rand Water, which was appointed by DWS as the implementing agent. Honourable members will recall, folks, that there were other interventions prior to that, including interventions by the SANDF, for example. I don't have at my fingertips all the costs related to those prior interventions, but an organisation called OWAT, which is an entity of one of the municipalities, the Ekurhuleni municipality, was also involved in the Vaal intervention at one time. But I can send the Honourable Committee a more detailed breakdown of the cost for each of these interventions going back. But since we've started with Rand Water doing the intervention, we've spent 227 million with the work that is presented in the presentation. But the big costs are going to come with the upgrading of the major wastewater treatment works in the area. What has happened in that area is that there's been a large increase in the population due to rural-urban migration, and there's been a large number of new connections of households to the waterborne sanitation system. But unfortunately, the municipalities in that area didn't simultaneously increase the capacity of the wastewater treatment works. So the wastewater treatment works in that area don't have sufficient capacity to deal with the increased sewage flows, which are coming as a result of population growth in that area. And there's a need to upgrade those very large wastewater treatment works. And that is estimated to have to cost 7 billion rand, upgrading of the wastewater treatment works. And that's the part in the presentation where we said that Rand Water is currently busy with the tenders to start they've done the designs, and they are now in the process of issuing the tenders to start with those major upgrades of the wastewater treatment works. I'm just checking on the Lesotho Highlands as well. There was one question from the chairperson as to whether we can second expertise to municipalities. Chairperson and members, there's the limitations to which we can do that. With more than 200 municipalities, we simply don't have sufficient expertise as DWS to second it to municipalities. And we're not funded to have that expertise either. DWS isn't funded to provide operational and ongoing maintenance costs of municipalities for running water and sanitation services. So it would require a major budgetary increase to DWS for us to be able to hire sufficient staff to be able to second expertise to municipalities. However, there is the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency under COGTA, which was created with partially with that purpose. But honourable members, what MISA, I used to work at MISA, and what I often found is that even when you do second expertise to municipalities, it is often not the solution to the problem, because the problem which municipalities have is often not caused by lack of expertise. It's rather caused by weaknesses in governance and management in the municipalities. And even if you do second expertise there, sometimes the problem is that the expertise is not listened to by the council and by the municipal manager. I'd then like to ask some colleagues to add. Leo, can you come in, please?
Thank you, DG. I will first go into the question posed by Honorable Basson with regards to the safety of dams. I just wanted to say that compliance with the dam safety regulations also require dam safety evaluations on a five-year basis to actually be completed. Now, it does not equate to a dam being directly equate to a dam being unsafe. However, we have to do that. We at this point in time comply with having our quarterly and our annual inspections done by our technical teams, but the law also requires us to actually have external independence evaluations done. That was overdue, but currently we have appointed independent independent approved professional persons to actually do that, and that the task is underway. So we trust that soon that part is all will be dealt with, and that we will then be complying all around as far as the requirements of the dam safety legislation is concerned with all our dams, not only the top 20. In terms of the question posed by Honorable Cislari with regarding the water services in as part of the water of the Mzimvubu water project. We have agreed that since we have changed the philosophy of the project to actually have rather acknowledged the brownfields that is existing in the area, that we will also do a bridging study to work together with the water service authorities, the three district municipalities in that area, to understand what is required to bring all communities that could benefit from this scheme to actually have them connected and have the water then supplied into it. So that bridging study will be providing us with the answers to what is required to actually close the gap. In terms of the question posed by the chairperson regarding the construction unit, chairperson, I can, honorable chair, I can really assure you that the construction unit looks much different than what it was perhaps in 2015 or earlier. It is certainly reflecting the demographics of the country. But as you requested that you need to be finished with the report, we take note of that, and we will surely do so to ensure that you are also appraised in terms of in that regard. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leonardo. I'd also like Masala to come in again to answer some of the questions.
Is it honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. Honorable Minister and good Minister present, I'm going to answer some of the questions that were raised from the presentation that we did. I'll start with the one that was raised by yourself, Chairperson, on the one for Rusty Venter. I could say that for Rusty Venter, this project currently, we have that project in our department. So far now, we have done feasibility study has been finalized. The IRS so far now has been submitted. We are now busy reviewing the IRS. We are planning to move into construction during the first or second quarter of our coming financial year, which is starting from 1st of April 2023. We have got a budget for around 150 million under MTF. For this project of Rusty Venter It is something that I wanted to indicate that this project is being prioritized. We have also noted that there has been a delay because this project started way early, around 2007-2008, and it's been under planning for the longest time, but we are happy to indicate to this meeting, Chairperson and members, that the project so far now is now moving into construction. When we move into the next one, which is the one with regard to Giani, which was also raised by Honorable Member, we are able to say that now for the Giani Waterworks, we have appointed so far, the appointed contractor is Uhulu Waterworks, which has been appointed by Mupane District Municipality, but I must also able to take this opportunity to indicate in terms of the three villages that we have so far now finalized the appointment through Mupane District Municipality, that for Bambeni Village, HLTC, PTYLTD has been appointed to the tune of around 20 million. For Homu 14A, Voka Trading Loss Cooperative has been appointed to the tune of around 29.2 million. And for Ngove Village, there is a Lamusek Dile Trading Enterprise, which has been appointed for the value of around 19.9 million. I also wanted to indicate the matter that was raised around issues of Tabacheu, whether the department is prioritizing Tabacheu for this current financial year. I can be able to indicate, Honorable Chair, that Tabacheu is being prioritized by the department. For this financial year, we have allocated around 40 million to address water and sanitation challenges around Tabacheu. The progress that is moving around that area is so far now is a victory. We are now happy with the progress that is moving. We are now looking in the future in terms of how to fully address the other identified challenges that we have observed within Tabacheu area. On the last one from our water services project with regard to Umgeni water, which is from KZN, why they are operating within the area of Bizana, which is in Eastern Cape. This project started way early, around 2007-2008. The then OR Tambo appointed Umgeni Water because at that time there were problems of capacity by Amatole Water. So far now, we have not changed the implementing agent from Umgeni Water into Amatole Water because the progress that has been recorded so far now by Umgeni Water, it is a satisfactory, and then there has not been any rift between the stakeholders who are within that area. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DJ.
Thank you, Masala. There was also a question about whether an economic study was done as part of the feasibility studies for the Umzimbubu project, and I'd like to ask Lebowani Mabuda from our Water Resource Management section to talk a little bit about that. Lebowani.
Thanks, DG, Minister, DM, Chairperson and members. We did undertake an economic assessment of the project. The advantage here is that now that we have the on-budget funding for the project economics improves significantly in that we can then anticipate that the Laleni part of the project can, if funded off budget, can also prove to be commercially viable. The assessment indicated that with the about 400 hectares that we irrigate, with an estimate of about 25 hectares per resource poor farmer, doing things like macadamia and the like, we will be able to have a viable enterprise that can uplift the community. We also have assessed that more than 148,000 households can be supplied. That's about 700,000 people in the area with water. The areas are around Zolpavi, OR Tambo and the African Zoo. The project cost effectiveness ratio is about 3 rand per cubic meter. The tariff can come to about, say, 4 or 5 rands, which is still lower than the prevailing tariffs by Amadola Water in the area. So the assessment is that the project, if the hydropower side is developed, can generate its own operational energy and also with surplus. And the surplus energy is quite substantial over the life cycle of the project of about 30 years. We can ring fence about 14 billion rands. And that actually then is quite a positive for the area if that money is ring fenced and reinvested in the area. Thanks, DG.
Thank you very much, Lebowani. And then finally, Chairperson, we do have our Chief Director for Communications in the meeting, Mandla, and Director of Communications, Visani. Mandla or Visani, perhaps Mandla first, would you like to come in, please, just to inform the committee as to what we're doing to strengthen our communications about the activities of the department? Mandla? Visani?
Thank you, DG. The Chief Director was trying to connect so as to present the overall communications, but if he is still a bit challenged, I would like to start to say that we have amplified our communication more so on the media layers, and we have identified various thematic areas which we continuously communicate to the public about the activities or the program of the department. This includes the projects that were being outlined here. We continuously issue media statements and engage members of the media, and both on on national as well as community on the updates, both as well as social media platforms on regular basis. This is to amplify our communication and to also ensure that members of the community are aware of what we are doing on the ground as a department. In terms of the other areas, in terms of our anti-corruption strategy, we continue to also communicate in that regard the activities that are happening within the department with members of the media, and it gets fully covered. We continuously report back to the leadership of the department to indicate areas at which we are reporting at, and on daily basis we are being covered by members of the media that indicates that they are being covered and members of the community are aware. The Chief Director could join and also add into what I would have said. Thank you. I see he's online.
Mandla, are you coming in?
Yes, thank you. I just want to add that after we received information that the portfolio committee was not satisfied with the manner in which we're communicating our messages to the public, we did our own assessment as well, and we discovered that the main thing that we're not doing well was to balance the various themes within our communication to cover all the areas, like Wisani has just said, to include also areas like anti-corruption and other themes. So what we have done now, we are monitoring on a daily basis what we are communicating to ensure that it balances those themes. We cover all the themes simultaneously instead of focusing only on the one side, for example, on one theme or few themes at the neglect of others. So what we are going to do from now, or what we are doing already from now, is that in terms of our media relations, when we issue statements on a daily basis, when we issue at least a minimum of 3 statements a week, we make sure that we balance those themes. But at the same time, each statement that we issue generates interviews, generates news items. So on a continuous basis, we infuse those themes to ensure that we cover even the areas which were not covered well in the past. And in our recent assessment, we've realized that we are managing to balance that and to ensure that all the areas are covered. But what we are doing on a daily basis is that almost on a second, on each second day, we issue a statement. So in a week, we issue a number of statements, and those statements help us to generate interviews and generate news items and news articles. And in so doing, we are able to reach as many people as we can in each week. And I'm saying each week because we are monitoring our news coverage weekly. And we do the aggregate each quarter. So each quarter will reveal exactly how well we have balanced those things. Thanks. Thank you, DG.
Thank you very much, Mandla. Chairperson, I did say that was the last one, but I've remembered that there was also a question about the commercial aspects of the Lesotho Highlands program. And if you agree, Chairperson, I can just ask Lindiwe, our DDG for international projects, to give us a quick report on that issue. Lindiwe?
Thank you, DG. And thank you also, Minister and DMs and Chair and committee members. On the commercial aspects of the project, you may recall that the project is happening in Lesotho, and in terms of the commercial benefits that are accruing, we have no say except for the ones that are on our borders. So, yes. Hello? Yes. In this regard, the Basotho's have got their strategies. For an example, some of the commercial initiatives, the portfolio members that visited Lesotho have witnessed them in terms of the fish that is exported, and that is in the purview of the and the decisions of the Basotho's. And then the second question that I picked up is in relation to the royalties. The royalties to phase two, yes, the royalties we are still paying, and whether they will go up, yes, the determinants of the royalties going up are two things. The operational cost index and the electricity index. So with the challenge of Eskom, there is likelihood that these costs will go up depending on the calculations based on those determinants, the operational cost index and the electricity index. So that is my submission, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Lindiwe. Chairperson, that ends our responses as the department.
Thank you. Thank you, I think we still have to hear the minister and the deputy minister if they want to have a closing shot. If they do, we will. Manza na wisani ve ekuri etimangwa etavona emavala. Babula so much angan.
Chair, maybe before the minister and Mama Kasi can come in. Let's just welcome that one, the president was clear on the issues of how the matter of load shedding and the energy security will be dealt with. And the issue that water is one of those items that needed to be looked at for a possible exemption. And the work that the DG and the municipalities and water boards have been doing is it's a welcome relief, Chair, because some of our water boards, in trying to ensure that we do have water, some of them are incurring an expense, indeed, that is unplanned for. I remember one day Randwater was briefing the minister and all of us that just to use diesel to run this biggest pump station, Chairperson, in an hour it can consume close to 3,000 liters just to consume that particular diesel. Therefore, the resolution of load shedding and energy crisis is an important issue while the sector must be looking at other mechanisms like the DG has said. And it's an important match because sometimes we get a flag in instances when there's a load shedding, a number of reservoirs in terms of the availability of water in the storage facilities, in terms of the lead times, you find that it's below a capability that it could be able to allow water to gravitate using the gravitational force. And normally the high-lying areas are always affected. We're very heightened by the end of the week when Minister Mthunu led us. We went to Eburuleni I don't know where you come from, whether you come from Mpumalanga or Eburuleni, Chairperson. But the biggest, I'm sure when you belong to many provinces. We are a true South African. There, the minister managed to launch a biggest project with the highest kind of a technology in terms of the building. Technologies, a flood fountain where that reservoir can give you 280 megaliters per day, which is up 280 million. That will cover the areas of Mpumalanga, especially in Hersibande, the areas of Nkangala, Eburuleni itself, including the areas of Tshwane. I'm normally one of the people that gets affected by load shedding where there is no water here in Tshwane. But this is a very important issue, Chair. And our department continues to encourage our own entities in the first place, the water boards, because even if you look at Bulawayo is one of the municipalities where we've said that Lepelle must ensure that there is always a backup system for any power failure, so the citizens can't do that. But Minister has been leading to say, let's actually put more facilities, especially the storage facilities, reservoirs, including water services authorities. They must do the same, because the more you have them, and it creates that particular capacity. I wanted to confirm that we are acutely aware, not only aware, but something is being done. In the valley intervention, Chairperson, the last time you as a portfolio committee, you visited that area, and ourselves, as I was assigned by Minister Mthunu and also Premier assigned MEC Mayile, we keep an eye there because we must resolve once and for all and demonstrate that Section 53 interventions work. And you could see that there's been a lot of progress that is being made. And the instruction from the minister that we must be able to up our game and accelerate, because we don't want any cent to go back to the national fiscus on the basis of poor performance and or non-performance at all. And Rainwater and ourselves are attending to the situation. There is some stability, but the challenges, they remain. On the issues of dam safety that Honorable Fasson, you have raised, it is an important matter to us, especially as a ministry, that all our infrastructure that is water related, including those that are owned by us as a state, they are in terms of structural integrity, that they are in good conditions. The incident of a tailing dam in Free State was one of those particular examples that if we don't tighten things and enforce the international norms, including our own regulations around dam safety, we can't be able to cause disasters of proportions that will not be imaginable. And I'm happy that Honorable Fasson, you raised that matter very sharply. In the very same vein, we must know that South Africa, when it comes to dam safety, we are ranking very highly internationally, as well part of that international organization that deals with issues of dams. And it's going to be important that even if you look at the capability of South Africans, the kind of dams and how we manage them, we still rank very highly. At this stage, while we are here, Chairperson, we must ask our people to work with the Department of Water and Sanitation very closely, especially now that there are issues of floods. Most of our dams in the provinces that have been having a lot of rainfall over the last few days, nearly more than a week now, most of our dams are full and they have started overflowing. And part of the work that Leonard and the team they do, at particular intervals, we must release some of the pressure from our dam by opening our sluice gates. And you might have seen in the media the question of the Val Dam. There will be other dams that are being released. And we want communities to work with us, especially there are those people in South Africa who have made a choice because of the lack of the enforcement of bylaws and some illegal occupation. A number of South Africans have decided to encroach the flight line. They have encroached the flight line, and some of them are in the river banks. And when these floods are happening, whether we're supposed to do the releases ourselves, there's going to be an impact. Going to be an impact, and certain instances, livelihoods or assets, including lives, might be lost. Therefore, this platform, you as our legislators, and when you do this oversight, as part of the responsible way of managing our infrastructure, we'll have to do that. And while at the very same time, the disasters were very heavy, President has made the declaration around those. We know that in many provinces, including our own province in Mpumalanga, the department, especially the provincial team there, led by the DG and the DDG Rismart, they are participating in the disaster management team. And we should be working like we dealt under the leadership of Minister Mthunu when we dealt with the situation in KwaZulu-Natal, Durban, and the other districts, including the Eastern Cape. But it's the biggest thing. And we know that even now, most of these people are affected by these floods. Most of them, in terms of spatial planning, in terms of settlement, there's been some kind of a level of encroaching in some of these areas. And global warming is here. This thing called climate change is here. And we might have to be able to say other areas are not a disaster, but they are, I can call them man-made. The last 2 points, Chair, we must be able to thank Minister Mthunu and the department. You know, Lostop, Sis Grace, Honorable Tweke, it has been discussed for many, many, many years. But for the first time, the people of Mpumalanga and Sikhukhune, especially around Moods and so forth, the work has commenced. The work has commenced. And we should be able to accelerate. And that work and the structure that the minister put of a premier of Mpumalanga and Limpopo and all of us sitting with those municipalities and traditional leaders and other people, very, very helpful. And this is the mechanism that the minister does, whether it's Kiani, whether it's Etegwin and so forth. And Rusty Venter, at least Sis Grace, will find time to go and report now. Rusty Venter has always been in the pipeline for close to 20 years now, and the team has reported that it's being done. The issue of Kiani, a lot of progress, Chair, even if you can go, because I know you went on the other side of Nandoni, progress is being made. The water treatment works. There's an entity there, I'm told, called Buholo. I know that Honorable Mkutu has asked about it, because that treatment capability, the water, like Minister demonstrated, that water will be coming from Nandoni, supporting Malamlele, then coming to Nzani, it must be treated. and the team that is working on that treatment plant, so that that capacity is available to treat more water, so that these villages, like the team was reporting, they do have access to water. There is a management structure there. That includes a number of stakeholders, including the department, including the district and supporting municipalities. And from time to time, these tensions will always happen around these issues of 30% and the opportunities for locals. But as we speak now, the mayor of Mopane, the executive mayor, Puleshai, supported by the ministry, most of the issues are handled from time to time when they arise. And the instruction from the minister is that the people of Mopane and the people of Limpopo in the main must be able to benefit, especially women and young people, in terms of economic opportunities. But ultimately, the water must arrive in people's homes. Those are some of the issues that, Chair, I thought I should reinforce the message from the DG and the team. Thank you.
Yeah, we're operating like a mini parliament. So when you see that, your
issue, Chair, just one point. The issue of Tabachew, I know it's closer to your heart. Tabachew, one of the things that Tabachew is notorious of, they've been polluting our water systems there. The sewer system, they were even taken to court. And the ministry through the DG, they've given them money there. The water services improvement grant, I know because it's my province. And I know that the district is an implementing agent. And they are being assisted because, remember, there are issues around capability, around putting some of the business plans. But also that municipality must also be able to use the other funding in terms of MIG and also the other funds that might be available in terms of the Human Settlement Development Grant. Because remember, there is also a lot of other development in terms of helping. But Tabachew, it has always been supported. It is one of that municipalities when it comes to governance and issues of technical capabilities that must be assisted. But I know that this year that we're about to finish, there is a major project dealing with their wastewater treatment works. Thank you.
I was simply saying we are a mini parliament. So when red light comes into your screen, it means your time is over. You eat too much. Honorable Mkutu will not have something to eat. Mama Gazi or Honorable Mkutu, if you are available, your closing part off.
Very, very few things. Firstly, to thank you as the chair, honorable chair, and the honorable members to afford us the opportunity to account and also to indicate progress that we're making, particularly on infrastructure related matters following the State of the Nation address. We think this is important because we're often criticized that as the department, we are not focusing on infrastructure. It doesn't pay off to answer those questions in the media because people believe or they make an assumption that Department of Water and Sanitation is responsible for all infrastructure related or water infrastructure or infrastructure related to water and sanitation. Whether it is it belongs to the municipality, it belongs to the board, it belongs, they don't separate. If there is a dysfunctional water treatment plant or something or a pump, they just go for DWS, when in fact it would be something that doesn't belong to us. But we are held responsible for anything related to water. That is the attitude of the people on the ground. Now, to meet them halfway, recognizing the fact that municipalities are not big on infrastructure over years, and they haven't been supervised, and they haven't tackled at a close range by another sphere of government. They've just been on their own, doing what they could, living what they couldn't. Now, this has led to an overall situation where citizens are concerned generally about the state of infrastructure and therefore lack of delivery, and associating all kinds of problems on water and sanitation to the kind of infrastructure they have, even if a particular problem wouldn't be related to that. So in order to meet them halfway, but also as a result, as I say, of our own recognition that municipalities are let down on this basic service, we really have reshaped ourselves and reorganized ourselves to work like we are reticulators of water in the country, which is not necessarily something that is strictly provided or openly provided for by legislation. We do think that this year we are going to have to initiate a policy that is much more enabling and, where necessary, adjust legislation to enable the National Department of Water and Sanitation to work in a much more synergized way with municipalities. It's not necessarily to say DWS must take over all water and sanitation related matters, because at some point municipalities will rise. But we need to develop a policy and legislation that is far more enabling than at the moment, because until a municipality realizes that they really can't do much, and there would be resistance in a way, but at the same time, even when they feel that, they would say to bring money and even bring skilled human beings to us, don't come. Now, if you look at money that has been spent over years, just take a 10-year period, and you look at what has been delivered, you don't find the balance and synergy. And you further put the level of demand that is still in that area, you will find that the level of demand and expenditure are very high and very low in terms of what would have been delivered. So what we are doing is be pragmatic in terms of how we handle issues of water in the country, and speak to those realities rather than be guided by anything else. But in the main, we are getting more and more into that area of local government, but simply on practicalities, not because we want power, more power or whatever, and therefore getting more on infrastructure at municipal level, if you look at it, but not that we're abandoning anything that is our core responsibility in terms of security of water and bulk water, as it were. Water resources in the country. We're just doing and synergizing, overlapping in a synergized way, but in a manner that talks to people and their demands on the ground. And we couldn't find any other better formula. It is and therefore the range of these projects that are being delivered, as you see, they are all over the country. They are of different sizes. Some of them are picking up from the past, as past, like 2013, 14, 15. We're just combing, as I was saying at some point, that combing the country for whatever has been abandoned, for whatever has collapsed and so on, whether it belongs to municipalities. Yesterday, I was writing to the Premier of Eastern Cape about the Flagstaff. I think it's a reservoir, which has been left dysfunctional. It was funded by MIC, which is a provincial matter, and they haven't attended to it, and so on. But in the meantime, there are thousands of people who would have depended on that infrastructure and related ones for keynote. In some cases, we're enemies of our own selves, even at the provincial level. Because why would an MEC fail to manage their infrastructure, their provincially funded infrastructure via grants that are given to a specific municipality and lapse for years and so on, but keep on saying more money, we're waterless and we don't have money and so on. So those things we want to pick up and synergize, but we're working well with premiers of all provinces. We're at different stages of picking up many things. But the last thing I want to say is that we in the first 2 weeks of March, we are going to have an elaborate meeting with metros of Gauteng. And it will be an intensive meeting, scrutinizing and checking why are people complaining, people like myself or DM myself. Why do they keep on complaining that because they are in higher locations, they often become victims of not getting water? That's not permissible. We come across articles in the media, we come across complaints, individuals complaining, and even in the East Rand, areas like Etuatua and so on, complaining about water and cuts and so on. So we are going to be picking up on all those things as to how do we squeeze people of water, because our character of availing water services shouldn't include things like restrictions, water cuts every week, but also go on to manage load shedding, which is making our task very difficult. But first, we want to satisfy ourselves that, look, everything is flowed from abstraction point by Redwater in the Vaal River, in the Vaal Dam, to our infrastructure, that those that are managed by Redwater, to all infrastructure that is managed by each of the metros. There must be synergy in terms of accepting unnecessary volumes as per demand of water in those particular metros. We mustn't lose too much water consistently and make it part of our character. And so we'll be scrutinizing almost each system as it gets to each metro, follow it into the metro. Why are you delivering only this much when you receive this much? Where do you lose and we're into that? How are you managing? Who is managing water for you? And how are they managing? They've got to be, their eyes must sit on reservoirs. If there's any threat to reservoirs that they give water to people and communities, then they must talk to the system, whether it is 1 o'clock in the morning, whether it's 2 o'clock, we must get very close to Eskom, not so much about giving us the electricity until measures that are being taken by the president bear fruit, but much more to say, how are you managing the legal electricity that is there and managing it such that we don't get affected? Those of us who are pumping water to households and use those gaps and so on. They're already being used because Randwater will tell you that we know when Eskom electricity is less costly. That's when we pump in order to manage costs. So we've got to do the same, say, when
our reservoirs requiring to be filled up in between load shedding and so on. So it's a difficult management scenarios that we have to develop, which DG is talking to in terms of bottom up and fit into, on one hand, the emergency or the disaster situation, but on the other, we must go on with increasing our understanding and our ability and capacity to manage even in those circumstances. Thank you very much, Chair.
Hey, Chairman, how are you, Elder Brother? The Minister is down. Where are you?
I think that the Deputy Minister might want to say something before we close. Or if it is protocol-wise that the Minister has already spoken, that's fine. Thank you very much. Nosipo, just bring the agenda again.
Okay, Chairperson.
We will have now gone to progress report on interventions, findings, and actions taken regarding the KwaZulu-Natal flood. As I have said, there was a bit of overlapping in the presentation, though the presentation was talking to the issues that happened between January 2013 to date. I mean, 2023 till to date. Yes, it's a good bit. What we would have wanted to know was a progress report on the April, May last year. The one which were on floods on. I know that we sent a question or two to the minister to answer those questions, and obviously that in answering those questions you will be answering to the presentation as we will have wanted to know, and we'll get that. So and it is now 5 to 12. I don't know, members, whether you want the we presented with item 5, and that we are and to finish at 12. Let me hear you, members, if we are ready to go up to 12:15. In order for us to talk to item 5. I see no hands on the platform.
Honorable Chair, the last presentation, unless I've not captured it well, the last presentation by the department was addressing that item.
Yes, I'm coming back to it because I did say that we will talk to 4-4 and not 5, but as I'm saying, I did hear that item 5 is addressed. Can you take it that way, colleagues? All of us, are we in agreement?
Yes, we are, Chair.
You move?
In agreement.
Thank you very much. Unless there's anyone who is opposed to it, let me hear you. None. If that is the case, it means we have come to the end of the meeting. People, are we not owing any minutes? I mean, I know people.
There is one set of minutes, Chairperson, which will be adopted in our next meeting.
Okay. Together with this one?
Yes, together with this one. In our physical meeting next week, Tuesday.
Yes, our meeting is next Tuesday, the physical one, and also the Friday one.
Yes, we have a virtual meeting on Friday. Then we have a physical meeting next week, Tuesday.
Didn't you agree on two physical meetings?
The next one is one of the 7th of March.
Oh, okay.
The next two Tuesdays, but the Fridays are still virtual.
Okay. I have already received an apology for Friday meeting from Honorable Tseke that she will be traveling from Cape Town to Mpumalanga. And I'm sure I will still convince her to log in virtually. Allow me to do that. In the absence of it...
Chairperson?
Yes, John?
I just want to make sure I understood correctly. Next week, Tuesday, is an in-person meeting. Am I correct?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, thank you very much. We are finished in time, and we must congratulate the department for being prompt into the presentation and giving us the information as raised. I did say something in Tsonga that I know all of you does not hear, that thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Say not all of us, say some. Thank you.